Well, so as said, you will have to use a lot of your imagination. And when I say things, just try to have it in your mind or something. So it will be a RustDuck Beyond documentation. You can enjoy it. So first, who am I? So I'm the RustDuck team leader since recently. I'm also part of the documentation team, the docs.rs team, and the DevTools team. So you kind of see some kind of pattern, I think. So we started working on Rust in 2015, I think. So since then, a lot of things happened. So. And my main focus currently is RustDoc and more globally documentation. So I have to work on docs.rs and a bit everything dot related. So I tried to show how we were able to provide documentation and most things that we have, which are pretty nice now. So first, what is RustDoc? So RustDoc is a tool provided alongside the compiler and cargo, which is used to generate documentation, as you may guess. You can do a bit more, but we'll go back to that later on. I think it's kind of most. I am. So that's RustDoc. So using RustDoc, as you can, you will have to mind it, but you have you can use it a multiple way, like directly through RustDoc, and you give it a file and it works. But when you start having dependencies, it's getting a bit tricky and the command line is getting quite long. So welcome back to makefile era. It's blinking. Blinking. Yeah, so now you can stop having in your mind, just read. So, like I was saying, you can use it directly through the command line, or you can use CargoDoc, which is making things much simpler, so you don't have to mind about all the dependencies and everything. You just CargoDoc, and everything is done in the background, and that's pretty nice. And you can even have your web browser open and going to your page, to your documentation, just add --- open, and that's pretty much it. It's very convenient. So yeah, fun fact, that's something we used for some who don't know it, we have error indexes, and you can, we needed to have something to generate a Markdown page, so RustDoc can actually render and convert Markdown from to HTML. So if at some point you need a converter, it works pretty well. So documenting. We tried to focus on having documentation done as much inside the code as possible, because in most languages, the documentation and the code is generally splitted, and you have to rely on tools that are not official. In Rust, we had the luck that some people came in pretty early, just took the compiler IST and converted it into HTML. So to do so, you can have the documents like that. So bang. Exactly, exclamation mark, is to document the current module. And if you just put a --, it's to document the following item. So in here, it will be the function, and the previous one will be for the current module. And considering as we are at the top level, it will be the crate itself. And that is actually syntactic sugar. So normally, you have to write this, which is the same, but a lot less sexy. Let's say it like that. But if you want to do tricky things with the documents, you will have to use it. So most people don't really care about that, and it's fine. So yeah, actually, RustDoc is a very nice tool to discover things that are implemented on your types through your dependencies. It's notably the blanket implementations. So when you have you implement a trait on a generic type, so for instance, you implement full trait on every type implementing debug, then obviously all the types you will declare that implement debug will have it, but unless you actually know that in your dependencies you have one doing that, you won't be able to see it, and RustDocs come in and provide those blanket implementations. It was actually added very recently because we had to target directly the internal compiler virtual machine, which was, it was crazy time. And that works pretty well now. And we have also the auto traits. So for instance, send and sync, a few more, but let's remain on those two. So if you have primitive types, there will be at least one of them will be implemented, and you will see it directly in the documentation. You don't have to go through your code and just testing. You can see it, which is, again, very convenient, and it allows you to prevent time loss. So, again, to help you on your documentation, RustDoc added the same lint system that Rust has, so now you can use directly lints in RustDoc. And by default, they are just warnings, but you can just deny everything in case you want to provide a framework. It's actually very useful. And the first one is in case you have an item, module, function, struct, everything that is lacking documentation. And the second one is in case you like a code example inside your doc comment, which is something that I'm trying to enforce through all the documentation. So far, not so good. We'll see later. Yeah, so now, beyond documentation. So actually, when you provide and write a code example inside your documentation, they are tested when you run a RustDoc. So for instance, in here, if you run cargo test, cargo again, all the code examples inside will be run. So in here, you will have your code failing in case you run it. But since you have the no run tag on your code example, it will be not run, just tested as does it compile. But it's tested. Thanks to that, you can actually have a lot less of all the API test to be sure that everything is up to date. And at the same time, you can provide documentation. So it's a big time. You earn a lot of time once again. Very convenient, and that's something we worked on a lot lately. You have a lot more commands and tags that you can use on the code example. So I will come back to this a bit later. So, like I said, when you want to run doc test, if you want to run specifically the doc test, you just cargo test dash dash doc, and only the doc test will be run. If you run cargo test, it will be also all the tests, actually. Everything marked as shebang, paren, and test. So, like I said, you have more tags. So you are currently writing your code, your API isn't stable yet, you can use allowfail, which allow you to fail, obviously. If you are writing a proc macro or micro, you can use compilefail to check that some code is specifically failing, which once again is very convenient in case you want to provide some nice errors to the users. And with the rising of the Rust editions, we had to handle that as well in Rust. So you can specify, I don't want it to be tested into the last edition, so put it into the 2015. That's fine. You can ignore because you don't want it to be tested or anything. You just want to have it. To be noted that actually compile fail and ignore are marked into the documentation as such. So the compile fail is marked with a big red warning, like it's supposed to fail, and ignore is just like it's not run. So and it, you know, whatever. So no run doesn't run the test, but it compiles it. It's very convenient when you have I/O, for instance. The Rust one actually isn't mandatory at all, but it's always nice to specify that it's a Rust code block. But like I said, by default, if not specified, it will be Rust. So it's not very useful in itself. And the should panic is actually, in case you run, you want it to panic. If you don't panic, it's a failure. And everything else, like for instance, if you have a block with a markdown text or everything, it will be interpreted as another language string. So if your language is called should panic, you will have an issue. But besides that, it will be fine. But that's not all. So I worked a lot on making ResDoc work with no JavaScript. So if you don't have JavaScript, you will have a very not so good looking page rendering, but you will have it. Everything will be available. It will work. The search. So you can search through the Rust documentation of your crate. It doesn't require an internet connection. It works locally. It's JavaScript. The downside is that we have a pretty big search index, but at least it works without internet. So if you don't have JavaScript enabled, it won't work, obviously. Like I said, you don't need the internet connection, which is something I'm really strongly enforcing, because a lot of people would like to have, for instance, external search with the pro and cons, everything, and some more JavaScript bigger, like Ember frameworks. It's a debate ongoing. You have a source code viewer, and I will go back a bit on this one later. For now, it's pretty simple. I'm starting to make it more nice and user-friendly. And the goal here is mostly to allow people to have a direct mapping on the UCA function. You can click on SRC, you will go to the definition, and you can see how it's actually implemented. Now you also have the whole file tree and everything, so you can go through the files and everything. So what I was saying about the source code viewer was that currently it's very simple. You just have a syntax highlighting, and it'd be nice to be able, for instance, when you hover a type, to be able to see where it's used and where it's defined. It remains to be done, and we have a lot of debates on how it should look like, and a lot of things have to be still determined. We're not so sure yet how it will be look like, but a lot of things are going there in not so long. So I was saying the settings too. The settings allow you to have a more precise browsing experience. So for instance, some people asked for the first element. When you have a search with only one result, they wanted to go, it was called get lucky or something. And if you have only one result, it will go to this result without any search page rendering or anything. Again, they earn time like that. I'm not so sure, but whatever. A lot of people were complaining that the types definition, when it's available, was collapsed by default. We now allow people to pick exactly which types they want to be collapsed or not. And yeah, a lot of other settings are there. And mostly settings appear when we have a huge debate with not so much people taking one side precisely, when we don't know really if people want it by default or not. So we just make a new setting, and that's pretty much it. Something I was pushing for a long time, the themes, were merged a few years ago. And now you can actually add your own theme, which is pretty convenient. And you have some rules to follow, like you have to implement all the CSS rules they have. Otherwise, you won't be able to add it, and it will be just an error at the compiler. But you can add your own themes. It's pretty simple. And as most feature, at some point, I should write the documentation on how to actually do it. But that's it. And customizable, actually, you can pretty much change everything through the command line, adding your own style files on CSS, JavaScript, HTML, even if you want. And I don't know if people know the ponies crate on docs.rs, but at some point you should take a look. It's interesting, let's say that. And The goal of this was at the origin to be able to allow to have more specific experience, everything that users might want. For instance, if you wanted your documentation to look more like a book than a documentation, we didn't see much people actually use it, except, of course, the standard library and stuff that I'm doing myself. So at some point, yeah. I think what likes there is, once again, documentation, which is kind of ironic. So yeah, very quickly, what's coming next? So like I said, more interactive source code viewer. The automatic click generation based on the type name. For instance, you just put a string, and it will render the link for the string. You don't have to do it yourself anymore. More output format supported. So this comes from people who were debating about how the page should look like. And to fix this issue, I proposed to generate JSON as well as HTML. So it's ongoing and it's taking a lot of time. We now have a conditional condition documentation. So you can just say, if I'm on this platform, I don't want this thing to be documented for some reason. And now the problem is on cargo, and I need to go back on it later. And with the doc aliases, which is for now only used on the STD library. So for instance, if you're looking for the upper hand, you will have the reference page, which will be returned in the search. Yeah, so you see, perfect.